Jeffrey Lynn Hansen, 67, of Lamar's, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, June 24th, at his home in a mowing accident. Jeff was born on May 30th of 1957 in Atchison, Kansas, to Harlan and Phyllis Hansen. Their family moved several times before settling on the farm in Union Township, rural Plymouth County, Iowa. Jeff loved living and growing up on the farm. He attended school in Merrill and Lamar's, graduated from Lamar's Community High School in 1975. Jeff was united in marriage to Connie Hunter on December 23rd, 1978, at the Merrill United Methodist Church. I saw a picture the family showed me of that. Jeff, as Connie was walking down the aisle, he was playing his guitar and singing to her. I don't know how you pull that off. They made their home in Lamar's, where they raised their three children, Maria, Allison, and Tim. Jeff worked for Alf's Manufacturing for 25 years and later worked for Van Sanitation for 15 years, both as a local truck driver. Family told us that the reason that it was local is because he wanted to be home with his family in the evenings. Jeff retired on December 31st of 2023. Jeff was a man who preferred the simple way of life. He loved to learn, had a strong willingness to soak up all the knowledge he could. He enjoyed watching Jeopardy and trivia. He was a master tinker. From a young age, he would take apart and put back together various items. He liked working on cars and his Harley motorcycle. Jeff's faith and relationship with Christ was very important to him. He enjoyed Bible studies, was a previous commander of the local Awana Club. He often shared his faith and his love for Christ through his gift of music. He was a talented musician. Music was a huge part of his life. Jeff had perfect pitch, as well as played various musical instruments, trombone, piano, guitar, bass, drums, many of those things right here. Jeff's a longtime member of Lamar's Bible Church, where he was active in the sound booth and the music at the church. I went to pick up my microphone for today and thought it ought to be Jeff handing this to me. He was a member of the Notables, the jazz trio with Bruce Maurer and Cliff McMurray, and filled in with other bands. He was a member of Switch with Dan Rudin and Carl Hartman. Most recent was his participation in Asaph's Kin, a praise band at LBC. And just immediately following the service today, Asaph's Kin is going to be giving a time of worship. We'll sing a few songs together. He loved going to musical concerts, especially those with family performing. Jeff was a very proud grandfather who loved attending his grandchildren's school and extracurricular activities. He always made time for his family and would go out of his way to make others feel welcome around him. Jeff also loved to watch movies, always with a tub of popcorn included. Probably Diet Mountain Dew. Right? Jeff is survived by his wife, Connie, children, Maria, and her husband, Dan Goodman of Akron, Allison Hansen of Merrill, Tim and his wife, Danielle Hansen of Sioux Falls, grandchildren, Bailey, Traden, Carter, and Hunter Goodman, Molly and Connor Hansen, and siblings, Jana and her husband Dan Hoppy of Lamar's, and Jay Hansen of Florida, sister-in-law Carla Hansen of Grimes, mother-in-law Joy Larson of Remsen, brother-in-law Ken, and his wife Bonnie Hunter of Lake Park, nieces, nephews, other extended relatives. Jeff is preceded in death by his parents, brother John Hansen, his granddaughter Cadence Goodman, and fathers-in-law Ellis Lefty Roberts and Gary Larson. I'm going to read some scriptures at this time. I have here, I'm going to read the scriptures out of Jeff's Bible. I opened up Jeff's Bible, and you can see it's got some duct tape on it. And on the inside cover and the back cover, There's a whole set of verses, and each verse has a topic for it. And so I picked the verses that we'll read today from his list of verses, all of them. I'm going to start off by reading 1 John 5, 11 to 13. His note here in 1 John 5:11, 13, it says, assurance of eternal life. First John 5:11. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Second passage we want to read is 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. This was marked rapture in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. And it's talking about those who have passed away. That you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. One more passage from the front of Jeff's Bible is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Jeff's note on this passage, saved by grace. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that, in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This time, before Pastor Fred comes and preaches to us from the Word, we want to open up the floor for some tributes. Maybe there's something that you'd like to share. We have microphones set up. I think we're going to turn those on at this time. Allison has volunteered to go first.
Hi. In case you didn't know, I'm Allison, Jeff and Connie's middle kid. I don't know if you were aware, but my dad struggled with depression like many of us, like myself. If he could have seen how many people his life touched, that struggle would have disappeared like fog in the wind. Well, enough of the flowery talk. My dad very much preferred plain-spoken people. Thank you all so much for coming to celebrate Dad's life. From my earliest memories, I have always cherished my dad, been a daddy's girl. Now, did we fight and argue? Like you wouldn't believe. Did we annoy each other? Oh, yes. For two people who loved learning and trivia, we often battled not only to be the winner, but to be right. But not once did I ever doubt his love for me, for my family, or those he chose as friends. He wasn't always candid about his feelings, but he showed you with his actions. If you search your memories of my dad, you'll recall he made time to help you, to build something, attend something, go somewhere, or even just have a conversation. He made sure we all had a relationship with him, even when we didn't have time for each other. I will always be proud to be his daughter. He taught me so many things. He cheered me on, protected me, even from myself if necessary. He was a friend as I grew into adulthood. He was my movie, music, trivia, and adventure buddy. There has been no greater comfort for me than knowing my dad is in heaven, and I will get to see him again because of our faith in God. I beg anyone here who doesn't have that assurance to seek a relationship with God, for your peace, of course, but also for the comfort and reassurance you can give to those who you will inevitably leave behind. And I'd like to finish with a little quote from one of Dad's favorite movies, The Sandlot. I'll love you, Dad, forever. Yeah, he would have laughed.
Thanks, Allison.
Okay, I'm not going to look up. I'm just going to read. Hello, my name is Maria, or Mia, or Rhea Badia. My nickname's from my dad. I'm Jeff and Connie's oldest child. I only say this as I've had the privilege of knowing my dad the longest. On a funny and slightly darker note, one thing that my dad did not like was to be told what to do. Every aspect of his life, he was forging his own path, either good or bad. Over the years, doctors told him to do this or do this, do that, to do live a healthier life, and did he listen? No. Even in the way he passed, he said, I told you diabetes wouldn't kill me. Sorry. One of my earliest memories of my dad was when he and I were racing, and I thought, my dad is pretty cool. Another memory I hold dear was sitting on his couch swing in his man cave and listening to music with him. I don't remember the song, but I remember the emotions that came listening to them, and I started to cry. He, of course, was wondering why I was crying. He said, are you upset? No. Sad? No. Happy? No. I told him the music had made me cry, and he instantly knew what I was talking about. Sometimes you feel music so deeply that you can't help but weep. My dad could feel music in his soul. As I read tributes to my dad, many people commented on how special their relationship was with my dad, and it got me thinking, how can some people feel that close to my dad? And then it struck me. That's who my dad was. He made people feel seen and loved. He went out of his way to include, even though at his core he was an introvert, he pushed himself to make people feel comfortable. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Hi, I'm Danny. I'm his daughter-in-law. Jeff, you have always accepted me and treated me like a daughter from the very start. I remember on my wedding day you hugging me and saying, I gained another daughter, right on. That's how he said it too. You always laughed at all the Danny-isms, whether that may be me trying to act like the Count Chocula Grinch, trying to talk in any accent, or me having a stellar radio announcer voice. You thought I was pretty funny, and that made me happy. You and Tim always quoted funny movies. The one quote that sticks in my mind is from Napoleon Dynamite, and the character Rex from Rex Kwon Do. Rex grabs a hold of his Stars and Stripes parachute pants and says, take a look at what I'm wearing, people. You think anybody wants a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys? Forget about it. You always gave me a great big hug and a kiss on the cheek every time we said goodbye. You also said that you loved me every time, and that meant so much to me. Jeff, I hope you know that I loved you too. At family gatherings, you were always so nice to my side of the family, especially my dad. My dad is a zany character with wild stories, and you embraced him and always got a kick out of talking about work and cars together. I will always remember going out to movies late at night with you, Allison, and Tim. I remember you always with the jumbo bucket of popcorn and all of us critiquing the movie on the car ride home while you air drummed on your steering wheel to the classic rock song that was playing on the radio. You loved your children and grandchildren very much. Molly and Connor were so blessed to have you in their lives, and I am so grateful they got to spend your last weekend with you. We can all find comfort in knowing you are with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in complete bliss and joy, free of pain and ailments. You are in the praise band now, in the very presence of our Creator. How beautiful it must be. I want to think you said, "Far out," once you took your first breath in heaven. It took your sudden passing to realize that every breath is precious, and I must not take life for granted. Only God knows when we leave this earth, so I'm going to continue to have a heart on fire for Christ and live life to the fullest, because I know we will one day be reunited with you and our Lord in paradise. I pray that everyone here can now or one day exclaim that Jesus is Lord. Then we can all be in heaven together. See you in heaven, Jeff. Hope you're having the best time. You will be forever in our hearts.
Thanks, Danielle.
Hi, my name is Hunter Goodman, or as my grandpa knew me, Jaeger, because Jaeger is Hunter in German. He thought that was cool. There's no amount of words to describe a man like my grandpa, but there's a few that I would like to say. Father, husband, and grandfather. All of these things mean something to someone. I've spent so much time with my grandfather, and I'm glad I did, because if I didn't, I know I would feel guilty about it. Whether that was going to movies, eating too much popcorn, or just sitting at home watching his favorite movie, Tombstone, or The Great Waldo Pepper. All the talks we had in his garage, or down in his music room. One time me and him were discussing different music, and he brought up, different movies, and he brought up Waterworld and how he liked it. I didn't understand how he liked it because I thought it was kind of dumb. But then I realized he grew up in an age where movies on the water was a whole new thing. I'm glad I got to spend as much time with him as I did. We always talked about cars. We went to a lot of car shows. And every time we went to one, he would always laugh at the stock Camaros with the automatic shifting. He thought that he did not like the automatic shifting, but it's a story for another time. He left an imprint on a lot of people's lives. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, Hunter.
Sorry, I gotta get my phone out really quick. I didn't have a whole bunch of fancy notes like these guys did. I just wanted to read one of the, last texts from my grandpa. Happy birthday, Trady. 18 years and you're kicking. So proud of you and all your accomplishments. I love you with all my being. And I responded, I love you too, Grandpa. Because, it's my grandpa, but Trady is short for Trady McCoy, the great big boy. That's what he called me. And when I was a kid, I hated it. But now I'd love to hear it again. One thing about my grandpa is that he was at everything. And if you know me, I'm in a lot of crap. A lot. He was there even if I did bad. So, you know. One thing that I would like to share that my grandpa taught me is about the guitar. It's kind of sad to say, but I only know 3 chords on the guitar. And they were the 3 chords that he taught me. So, you know. I felt really lucky because just like Hunter, I'm going to go to college next year. So I thought I should make time to go over to my grandparents' house. And of course, you know, I got off work at like 3 something, so my grandma was still working, and I just got to spend some time with my grandpa. He taught me so much about life. He really did. And I hope he had as much of an impact on you guys as he did me. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Trayden.
If you believe the old adage, once a teacher, always a teacher, then I guess I've been a teacher for almost 70 years. During this time, I've been fortunate to see the musical growth of many, many students. I have, however, with the passing of time, come to dread witnessing the demise of a former student, particularly one who was such a delightful presence and incredibly talented, like Jeff Hansen. His membership in the Notables Reunion Band was valued by all of us. As the old saying goes, a great bass player is the necessary foundation of a successful jazz band performance. Jeff was not one to be pretentious about playing with the group. He just sat back there and so effectively did his job. With the passing of time, we will all come to realize how much we miss him and miss his presence, and his memory will live on in the hearts and minds of all of us who were privileged to know him.
Thank you.
My name is
Yes, it is on.
My name is Paul Utash. Thank you, Mr. Bryce, for your heartfelt comments about Jeff. I played trumpet, Jeff played trombone, and we were proud members of the Big Red Marching Band, the Big Red Concert Band, and the fantastic Notables. We had a good time, and we had a good director. I knew Jeff's true love was the bass guitar. And when we got together for the Notable reunions, Jeff was on bass at that time. And it was a lot of fun. He was a great musician, and a real good, very good friend of mine. He helped me on the farm a few times, and Connie and Jeff would come out to the farm, and I'd make tacos, or Jeff would make his homemade pizza, and we were pretty good eaters. Jeff and Connie and myself and my wife, we'd go down to Alfredo's Pizza in Sioux City, and we'd order. Jeff said, let's get a jumbo with the works. And I said, okay. So Jeff and I would, or Connie and my wife, they'd eat 1 or 2 pieces, and then Jeff and I would wipe out the rest. And it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
One more short one from Notables. I'm Dave. Played trumpet with Jeff also. And he was a notable person. We all can say that. But short highlight, a year ago, I tipped over my lawn tractor, and Allison was there by my ditch to rescue me, that I was slightly injured. That's in my memory right now, too. Mm-hmm. I'm alive. Jeff is alive in heaven.
Amen. We got time for one or two more. Who else would like to share?
All right, if my boys can do it, I can. Jeff accepted me as a punk 18-year-old kid that wanted to marry his daughter. I wouldn't have let me. Looking back at the pictures of when we were so young, we got married, and he had to have been terrified. But Jeff always accepted me from the very beginning. He took me for who I was and who I am. Helped me to become a better father and a better man. He asked me to do one thing before I married his daughter. He pulled me aside and he said, just protect her, provide for her, and make her happy. So I hope I did that for him so far. It's not done yet. I used to love to sit down and have conversations with Jeff just about anything. It didn't matter whether it was we were talking about something we were going to fix or electrical stuff that he screwed up that I had to go fix. And you know, Jeff didn't mind digging into something whether he knew about it or not, because he'd get her figured out. But I'm sure going to miss him having the conversations with him. And it just doesn't seem fair that he just retired. You know, we often talked about that because, you know, we're both working men, and, you know, I hope to be able to retire someday, but he only got to enjoy it for 6 months, and, you know, that's something I'm struggling with. And the reminder to me that gives me some relief is that I know where he is right now without a shadow of a doubt. There is no doubt in my mind, kind of like when, you know, it reminds me a lot when Cecil Yoder passed, is that there is a, without a shadow of a doubt, I know where Cecil Yoder is, and I know where my father-in-law, Jeff Hansen, is. They're up there together. So, thanks, everybody.
Amen. Amen. Boy, we could do this for a couple hours, couldn't we? I've got stories I could tell about Jeff. But we have to keep going. I would encourage you, if there's a story in your head, come tell it to the family at some point. They'd love to cherish those memories with you. But after the service is over, we're going to have some cookies out in the fellowship hall. That might be a chance, or in the days to come. Jeff was a lover of all kinds of music, we've heard, as long as it was good music. Jeff often sang at funerals here at Lamar's Bible Church, but he told his family he didn't want anyone to have to sing a solo at his funeral. So we did recorded music instead. We picked out this song that Jeff would have loved by the Gaither Vocal Band, Because He Lives. Listen to its truth, and then Pastor Fred will come and open up God's word for us.
How sweet to hold our newborn baby. And that baby we wrote that song about is sitting up here, and he's 31 years old. I didn't believe that. And feel the pride and the joy that he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance we can face uncertain days. I don't care what the CNN headlines say tomorrow, we can face uncertain days. Sing it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
I can face tomorrow.
Because he lives.
Because life's final war with pain and fairness. Death gives way to victory. Oh, see the signs of glory, and I'll know he wins because.
Jesus Christ is living. Jeff Hansen is alive, more alive than he's ever been. My brother in Christ, my friend, Jeff. The last conversation I had with Jeff was the day before he went home to heaven, last Sunday morning. He was in his customary place, right back there in the sound booth where he faithfully had served for decades. In fact, I tried to remember if I ever saw Jeff sitting anywhere else in this room other than back there. That's been a long time. I was to be the preacher last Sunday, and we were doing a mic check, Jeff and I, with my little over-the-ear mic, but all we were getting was very loud static and pops. People were looking around, those that were already gathered, and I said, Jeff, I'll just use the pulpit mic this morning. But Jeff, it was as if he didn't hear me. He just kept trying, and pops and static are filling the room. And I said, Jeff, let's just figure it out later. Well, Jeff was a little bit frustrated that we were abandoning what to him was the preferred system. And given enough time, Jeff can fix just about anything. He looked at me and he said, but I just want the word of God to be clearly heard and understood. And I said, brother, I'm with you on that. Well, we went with this mic that Sunday. But friends, that little episode encapsulated for me a lot of what Jeff Hansen was about. He desired excellence in the sound ministry, and we can see his fingerprints all over this room. Secondly, Jeff was passionate about the clear proclamation of the Word of God. He was a great blessing to me over the years. He often encouraged me to just keep giving out the gospel week by week. The story of how Jeff became a follower of Christ is one of the most treasured memories that many of us have and will hold. Jeff and Connie had hit a rough patch early in their marriage, and the small group of people that was in those days Lamar's Bible Church, many of them have gone on to be with the Lord now, but that small group began to pray for Jeff because Connie was in the church, but Jeff wasn't. And then the day came in 1981 when Jeff heard through Harlan Betts, the pastor, and understood the gospel, and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Some of you here remember that. You were praying for Jeff.
From that day forward, Jeff's life began to change. Oh, he was open about his struggles. He would tell me he felt like he was a slow work in progress. But Jeff's faith in Christ and love for the Word of God was real. He was the real deal. He wasn't pretentious. He was just the salt of the earth and a genuine follower of Christ. I believe that Jeff never lost the wonder of God's grace, nor his gratitude for what God had done and was doing in him. Because of that, although we sorrow, it is not as those who have no hope. Because for a follower of Christ, death is a doorway to something very much better. Friends, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be at home, to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. So, we can be absolutely confident that Jeff is with the Lord in heaven because he was trusting in Christ. Now, friends, a service like this is important because in the midst of our busy lives and schedules, and none of us last Sunday ever thought we would be here in this service tonight, did we? Death is the great interrupter. But now we've been compelled to think about spiritual things that, quite frankly, we don't think often enough about the brevity of life, about the certainty of death, what happens to us after we die. And how can we be sure we will be with the Lord in heaven in eternity when we leave here? See, the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes, it is better for you to spend your time at funerals than at festivals, for you are going to die and you should think about it while there is time. I believe now more than ever, Jeff would agree with the words of author A.W. Tozer, who said, quote, apart from God, nothing matters. We think that health matters, that freedom matters, or knowledge, or art, or civilization, and but for one insistent word, they would matter indeed. And that word is eternity. Eternity. Unquote. The reality is a terminal illness or the death of a loved one or our own impending death clarifies things in a way that nothing else does. Death forces us to consider the ultimate reality of eternity and what is truly important in this life. Well, God's word is truth. The word of God that Jeff loved, that he had marked up in his Bible and so on, and encouraged me and Pastor Mike and the other pastors that just keep preaching the word of God. And we need that word at a time like this. As was said inside the covers of Jeff's Bible, he had written a lot of references to Bible verses. Many of them were from the 8th chapter of Romans, one of the great texts of the Bible. If you have one of those orders of service, you'll see some of those verses printed on the back side, and we'll refer to some of them here now. In that chapter 8 of Romans, we find truths that give encouragement, assurance and hope to followers of Christ as they encounter the enemy of death. And if you're not sure, friend, where you will be in eternity, my prayer is that even in this service, as you hear the word of God, you will put your trust in Jesus Christ. You will turn from whatever you're trusting in and trust in the one who gave his life for you on Calvary's cross. So first of all, for the follower of Christ, there is no condemnation. Do you see it there in verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's one of the Apostle Paul's favorite expressions for a born-again believer. He or she is in Christ, in Jesus. There's only two categories of people. We tend to divide people in all kinds of social strata and races and nationalities and so on. But when you boil it down, there's only two categories of human beings. Those who are in Christ and those who are not. Those who have received Jesus personally as Savior and Lord and those who have not. It's another way of saying that a person is either forgiven, saved from his sin and guilt, the penalty of it, or lost and still in his sins. Jeff was and is in Christ. He had received Christ as his Savior, as we mentioned earlier. He trusted in Jesus as the one who paid for his sin through his death on the cross. He trusted in Jesus as the only one who could carry him across to heaven and forgive him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Faith and trust in Christ. So the Bible says here that for the follower of Christ, as Jeff was, there is no condemnation. Now, that doesn't mean that the follower of Christ lives a perfect life or never sins, no. But it means the believer in Christ will never face judgment in hell for his or her sins. They've been forgiven because of Christ's work on the cross and one's trust in that. Jeff knew and was absolutely confident of that. As you said, Dan, absolutely confident. You may say, well, isn't that presumptuous to believe that one can know today where they're going to be? No, it's not presumptuous. It's biblical. The Bible says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life." Present tense. Today. Jeff knew that the moment his life on earth ended, he would immediately be in God's presence in heaven. He believed God's promise. To be absent from the body is to be at home, present with the Lord, where he is now. So for the believer in Christ, there's no condemnation. Secondly, for the follower of Christ, there's no comparison. Do you see verse 18? It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now, we would all agree, the world is filled with horrific suffering and seemingly increasing. Hunger, poverty, child abuse, disease, death. As someone has said, the history of the world is a tale of tears. We ask ourselves, why is this? Why do these bad things happen? Why do people suffer and die? Why is a husband, a father, a grandfather, a friend taken in a tragic accident? The biblical answer is we live in a fallen, broken world affected by sin, and it affects everything. In the beginning, God created a perfect world, but mankind chose to sin, to disobey, to turn away from God. And as a result, sin, decay, disease, suffering, and death entered our world. And followers of Christ are not exempt from suffering. No, not exempt from the hard things of life. Jeff certainly wasn't. Jesus himself, the Son of God, lived a perfect life without sin, yet he suffered horrible things, culminating in that cross 2,000 years ago. And all of us will, to one degree or another, suffer in this life. Well, how do we deal with the problem of suffering and loss? Well, here's part of the answer in verse 18. "Knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us, the children of God, those who know Christ by faith." That tells us there is something that awaits the believer in Christ that helps make the present suffering bearable. It's God's promise of something very wonderful, glorious, yet to come. Heaven, eternity with Christ. And no matter what the child of God has suffered or will suffer in this life, these things cannot be compared with the glory that awaits him or her in eternity. As the song says, "I can only imagine." I can only imagine what it will be like. Well, what is the glory that awaits a follower of Christ like Jeff was and is? Well, first of all, it's entering that glorious place called heaven. The Bible describes New Jerusalem in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the capital city of heaven, as a place of amazing beauty, splendor, dazzling radiance, streets of gold, gates of pearl. The glory of God illumines it. The night before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Jesus is the architect and builder of what awaits the follower of Christ. Jeff had an appreciation for good and solid construction. We can only imagine his joy and wonder at what he's experiencing. The Bible says that for a believer, dying and passing on is going home. Home. Jeff's home was very important to him. He's in his better home, if you will, absent from the body, present at home with the Lord. Heaven is the eternal home of the believer in Christ. When Billy Graham, the great evangelist, passed away a number of years ago, there around North Carolina, his home, they erected big billboards with his iconic picture. And underneath were two words, gone home. Jeff has gone home. Last Monday, God called Jeff to his home, and Jeff didn't make that journey alone. Humanly speaking, it appeared he was alone when he left this earth. But see, the Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. No, friend, God was there with Jeff. In addition, the Bible says the coming glory will include a new body, like Christ's glorious body. In heaven, believers in Christ will have a new body that will never grow old, perfectly suited for eternity. The Bible says that in this house, referring to these bodies, we groan. Amen? We groan. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. That new body that will experience no pain, no weakness, no tears, no death. Jeff is more alive than he's ever been. It was so heartwarming. It was wonderful to hear this story. When the family explained to Jeff's 5-year-old grandson, Connor, that Grandpa had died, that Grandpa was no longer here, they would not see him again, Connor immediately explained, No. He's alive. He's with Jesus. And 5-year-old Connor knew the theological truth, didn't he? You know, a major part of Jeff's life was music. We've alluded to that many times. To think of Jeff Hansen was to think of music. He was so gifted musically, as we've heard. Perfect pitch, master of several instruments. He loved all forms of music, but as was said, it better be good music. It better sound good. In fact, one of the family members told me that you didn't want to play a song through the little speaker on your cell phone. It had to be through a good sound system. But he especially loved music that glorified Christ. Well, the Bible tells us that heaven is filled with music. The best symphonic orchestra on earth that you and I have ever heard is just a tiny smattering of what heaven is going to be. And Jeff is experiencing those thunderous ovations of praise. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He's part of it. As I thought about Jeff, I thought of three things. Here, he struggled with his health, but no more. He's been healed. Here, after retirement, he was looking forward to serving. He told me that several times. I just want to give everything I've got to serve in the church, to serve the body of Christ. Well, now he's serving the King of Heaven. Here he enjoyed hearing and playing the music of earth, but now he's joined the angel choirs, and his abilities have been perfected beyond what we can imagine. One of Jeff's favorite hymns, There Is a Fountain, says this: when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. And I love to hear Jeff sing and play that acoustic guitar sweetly. But the best part of heaven will be seeing Jesus, who created us, who died to save us, and will be with his people forever. And we will be reminded for all eternity, as we still see the nail prints in his hands, which will be there for all eternity, he went to the cross for me. There's something else here that gives the believer in Christ hope and encouragement. You see it there in verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The Bible reminds us here in this verse, God causes all things to work together for good. God is actively working through and directing all of the events of the universe to accomplish his good and perfect purpose. The Bible says not even a sparrow falls from a tree apart from God allowing it and knowing about it. Ultimately, you see, there are no accidents in God's universe. God could have prevented the accident that took Jeff home, but he didn't. The Bible says, you see, that the length of our days on earth for each one of us was determined before we were born. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 16. In your book, O Lord, they were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Friends, there's comfort in that, as sad as this time has been. For those of us left behind, to know that God is sovereign, that our days have been determined. Connie, I think it was you that shared, you know, God could have taken Jeff home last Monday from his recliner, from his bed, but he didn't. God is in charge, and his ways are higher than our ways, but here he promises to cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. Jeff has now experienced the ultimate good. He's in eternity with his Savior. But what about us who remain, who are struggling with this loss and attempting to deal with it? Answer, if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And that's good, because our greatest need, people, is God himself. God himself. You see, it's difficult times like this that make us sense our need for God. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, and I pray that there are some, even in this service tonight, who will understand, like Jeff did in 1981, that he was a sinner, that he was separated from God, but that Christ had done everything necessary on that cross to purchase his salvation, and Jeff simply needed to trust and believe in Jesus Christ, and he'd be forgiven and have eternal life. And that will be great good for any who in this day turn, as Jeff did, to Christ. And so, friends, that begs the ultimate question. Are you right with God? Do you know for sure where you'll be when you die? You see, God has provided the way to be reconciled to God. It's by admitting your lostness, admitting your sin, that you've been trying to run your own life, and we can't do it, that we're guilty before God, we've broken his law, and you turn and you place your faith and trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross. Now, we live in a day when it's common to think that basically everybody goes to heaven. Well, 99.5% of people go to heaven. There are some really bad ones. But basically, we're all going to end up there. But that isn't what the Bible teaches at all. If our good deeds, many people believe, well, if my good deeds outweigh my bad, if I've been a member of a church and I've given some money and I've been baptized, I've gone through some rituals, I'm going to be okay. God doesn't grade on the curve. But the Bible says salvation is not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. It's grace. A lifetime of good works could never reverse the death sentence that we're born under. No, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're sinners by nature and choice. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned, wages. We've earned, we deserve God's judgment because we've deliberately chosen to sin and break his law. And that's bad news. The wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. The good news. God loved us so much, he sent his son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place. He took our penalty that was ours. He did what we couldn't do. He lived a perfect life without sin. He died on the cross to satisfy God's holy judgment. And now he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who, like Jeff, will put their trust in Christ alone. But you see, as with any gift, And salvation is a gift. That's why it's grace, not of works. A gift has to be personally received to benefit. As many as received him, the Bible says, Christ, he gave the right to become children of God. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. A member of our church told me just last Sunday that relatives of theirs up in Spencer, where the waters came up to the eaves and they were up on their, all they could do was go up on the roof. They were helpless in the face of the rising floodwaters. But they were saved when they got into that rescue boat. Friends, listen. Eternal life, forgiveness, salvation is not a matter of swimming harder and longer and so on. It's getting into the boat, which is Jesus Christ. It's putting your faith and trust in the rescuer, the Lord Jesus, who loved you so much he died in your place when you were without hope, and we are without Christ. Each of us is only one heartbeat away from eternity, and that's the ultimate reality. We must choose today, even now, to turn and put our trust in Christ and follow him. ABC, we admit that we're lost. That's what Jeff had to do. I can't run my own life. I'm guilty of sin. I've offended a holy God. He admitted that. He believed that Jesus Christ had died in his place and had risen again. And C, he called on Christ. He chose to put his faith in Christ and to become a follower. Will you be ready for eternity? Come to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've heard your truth. It's found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jeff. He had put his trust in Christ. Because of that, he's safe with you. There was so much good about Jeff, but it isn't goodness that saves us. It's Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners who admit their need and turn to him. So, Lord, we thank you for that truth. We thank you for the absolute assurance and confidence of where Jeff is at. Lord, again, want to pray for Jeff's family. Lord, we're still in a bit of shock. And Lord, the tears still come, and they will continue to. So Lord, in the coming days, we pray again for Connie and Maria and Dan and Tim and Danny and Allison, his grandkids, his siblings, other family members. Lord, grant them your comfort and strength in the coming days. Lord, thank you for blessing us with Jeff's life, his testimony, his ministry in the church. And above all, Lord, we thank you for the eternal life that you gave him and he's experiencing in the fullest even now. And Father, I pray, may there be others, even in this assembly tonight, who having heard the gospel will turn to Christ in repentance and faith. We will praise you, Lord, for all you're going to do and all the good you're going to bring. In Jesus' name.